Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, why turning up the heat could make you 7% faster, even in cold conditions.
We've also got a triathlete that's trying to win the Tour de France, which we should actually take very seriously. And we've got news of the OG Endurance Race Transcontinental.
Yeah, plus we've got a bittersweet celebration with some news coming at the end of the show. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that the unofficial competition to sell the world's most expensive saddle has a new leader. Prologo have created a 1,200 euro saddle for Tadej Pogačar, which is, wait for it, aero. It even features a spoiler on the back.
And if you want one, you're in bad luck, because they're already sold out.
Yeah, who knew there was such a demand for £1,000
saddles?
Yeah, either that or there actually is no demand and they haven't actually made any.
Could be that. Anyway, we also learned this week that Israel Premier Tech pro Joseph Blackmore has taken roadies doing wheelies to the next level. Manuals, which are wheelies without pedalling, are very difficult to do on a road bike.
Yes, but looking very cool doing it, isn't he? Plus, this week, it is also Olympic fever. We learned that Grace Brown and Remco Evenepoel are your new Olympic time trial champions.
Yeah, amazing performances. And for Brown, such a nice way to end her pro career.
That's right, yeah. Now, when I was watching the time trials, I couldn't help but wonder what anyone who's not familiar with cycling time trials actually made of the state of some of the biggest names in our sport.
When you say the state of them, do you mean the space helmets?
I mean the situation. The baseballs helmets, yeah. I just can never think. You go from watching the incredible physiques of swimmers, for example, who are being interviewed wearing only budgie smugglers and without a care in the world, to images like this, basically, which if you're listening to this as a podcast, is Tadej Pogačar doing his incredible Hulk impression on his, like, winning the time trial Tour de France. I mean, honestly. Anyway, I did learn decades ago not to worry too much about what people think I look like on a bike. So, you know.
Or off the bike as well, given in there's not much ironing going on today. So.
No, not really. I'm just a cyclist, man. I'm not an iron man. Okay, moving on to our main talking point this week. Someone actually put in the comment section last week that they wondered if the GCN shop was now selling 3D relief map t-shirts.
Do you do it on purpose? Do you like shove it in your bag and be like...
No, this one's been folded up.
That has not been folded up.
It has, it's been folded up
all
week.
You're lying.
No, I'm really not. Anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it adds character. Think.
I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. No. It's awful, isn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry. Moving on.
I'm sorry.
To our main talking point this week. Heat. It has been the talk of the coffee machine, actually for a few weeks now. Not how hot to froth the milk, but how to get faster on the bike.
Yeah, like so many elements of training and sports science, this isn't new. But it's coming back into people's consciousness helped to a no small part in the anonymous forum poster Moo, who seemingly had access to Tadej Pogačar's training secrets.
Yeah, now when you look into it, you see that most pros are actually doing heat training now, and for good reason. So there is research out there that shows you can improve by over 5%.
5% might not sound like much, but it's essentially 3 watts, as we'll explain.
Yeah, so the essence of this is that heat training is something you can do in addition to your normal riding. So it's not like some people can do it and other people can't. All of us can, although I'm sure how much people will improve will vary. But in the seminal study by Lorenzo and Halliwell et al, they showed that on average, after just 10 days of heat acclimatization, so 10 days, that is not very long in the world of training, the average improvement was 8% of VO2 max and 5% of your power at FTP.
Mm, and what's really key to this, though, is that improvements in cool conditions are almost, and in some cases, as much.
That's right. So yeah, your VO2 max improvement, I think, was 6%, but the FTP improvement was the same. So to summarize, by doing 10 days of heat training, your FTP could increase by 5%, both in hot and cool weather.
And you can train for a really long time to try and get 15 watts or so, but... You could also do it in 10 days.
I know, it sounds bonkers, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, yeah. I mean, it actually does sound bonkers. So in terms of why this improves your performance, there are a couple of things going on here, potentially. Firstly, it, of course, improves your ability to keep cool, which is something that can affect performance both in cool conditions as well as, of course, in hot conditions. That study we just talked about also showed, as have a number since, that heat training increases your blood plasma volume, okay, which is supposed to be beneficial.
Interesting. Yep.
And it can also apparently improve your cardiac output as well. So that's why I think it might improve your VO2 max.
We'll look into this more into the future in a video. But for now, you'll be wanting to know how to do this heat training right.
Well, yes, you would be wanting to know that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that, like zone 2 training, you don't actually need to work very hard. The bad news is that, unlike zone 2 training, it is uncomfortable and also very, very sweaty. So the key is to raise your core body temperature by 1 degree centigrade or so, and then hold it there for between 45 to 80 minutes.
Yeah, on the indoor trainer in a warm room. And this is really easy to do without much power. A heat sensor, like one from Core, will help you control this and stop you from pushing too hard.
That's right, yeah. So if you don't know when you're getting hot, if you've got a heat sensor on you, it's going to tell you, right? It's also key to know here that hotter is not better here. Okay,
so
you still get the same benefits if you're like a degree hotter than you would do if you were more than that. And obviously it gets dangerous if you get too hot.
So you shouldn't go into like a sauna and do this, or a steam room?
Well, so apparently, I was doing a bit of research. apparently, no, you shouldn't do your heat acclimatizing in saunas, but people who do take saunas 4 times a week apparently have, what was it, lower levels of cardiac disease, stroke, all this other stuff. So even like there's benefits to heat training
So we all
life.
Need to go to the spa, basically.
Basically, yeah. If everyone can go to the spa 4 times a week,
we'll live longer.
Then you will live longer, yeah. No, in terms of performance, the key, they say, is to get a real sweat on and then just hold it there. So you don't need to press on the pedals that hard. It's just, the key is to be hot, right? Now, Core themselves, the heat monitor people, recommend 10 to 16 sessions in a 2 to 6 week period to get those adaptations. So really not long at all. And you can do it in addition to your normal training. Like if you're doing a split day, you do your training session and then you do your heat acclimatization in the afternoon. Anyway, the thing to be aware of is that these adaptations are short-lived. So after a couple of weeks with no heat training, you'll be back to normal. You will lose your superpower.
Back to square one.
Back, basically, yeah. Just a normal human being as opposed to like a super hot.
Super sweaty.
Well, yeah, so that is the other thing, is that apparently it starts you sweating when you're cooler. So it's basically making you a more sweaty person.
Really?
Yeah, which is not what some of us need.
No.
You know, I often think back, right, when I talk about heat training.
And sweating.
Yeah, and sweating, yeah. Many, many moments I'd like to forget. But no, one in particular, you remember in COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did that 4 weeks of fitness. So I trained really hard on the indoor training for 4 weeks. And I saw a massive improvement in less than a month, like way bigger than could possibly be a physiological like change. I reckon it was probably down to heat training.
It could have been.
Like genuinely, the kind of improvement I saw was in the realms of it being like heat acclimatization.
Yeah,
I got
true.
Really hot and really sweaty.
And very fit from it.
And quite fit, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, well, let us know in the comments section what you think.
Yeah, have you heard of heat acclimatization before? Have you done heat acclimatization before? And yeah, we will get busy making a video.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that freshly minted Olympic mountain bike champion Pauline Ferrand-Prevot is now turning her attention back to road racing to try and win the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift next season.
It's easy to forget that she already has been a former road race world champion all the way back in 2014, where she achieved the still unprecedented feat of holding road, mountain bike and cyclocross titles at the same time. But in recent years, she's focused all in on mountain biking to achieve that gold Olympic medal.
That's right. While she will confirm her new team in the coming weeks, rumours are that it's Visma Lisa bike. Yeah. Another multidisciplinarian, by the way, who fancies winning the Tour de France, Tom Pidcock, also won the men's mountain bike as well. Unlike Prevost's giant margin of victory, his came down to seconds with a very assertive overtake. Do you think we can describe it as that?
Yeah. probably.
I mean, it was one of those ones where you went, ooh, I wouldn't want to be him in Paris tonight.
It was such a good race, though,
wasn't it? It was a great race,
so
yeah.
So good.
Anyway, he snuck past home favourite Viktor Koretsky in by the dying moments of the race, wasn't it?
Loved it.
Yeah.
In other trying to win the Tour de France news, triathlon megastar Christian Blumenfeld has thrown his hat into the ring. Or rather, he's been dropped into it by his coach, Olav Alexander Bo.
Yes.
He is the superstar coach that Sy interviewed a few months back.
Yes, he's not a huge advocate of Zone 2.
Is he not?
Well,
has he not seen my Zone 2 videos?
Well, I mean, I did say, look, I appreciate you've got a lot of experience with, you know, Christian and Gustav, but no, I mean, I don't think it's that he's against Zone 2. I think he thinks there's better things that you can be doing with your time.
Yeah, okay.
Time crunch. Anyway, he prefers the one rep in reserve method.
Interesting.
No, I like that as well. Basically, Christian Blumenfeld was described by Velo as the Tadej Pogacar meets Matthew Van Der Poel of triathlon.
What a combo.
Would be a healthy mix.
It would be.
If you can translate
it's a dangerous
that
mix
onto the road. But I mean, that's a big ask, isn't it? Like,
he's
yeah, big ask.
Think it's possible?
Well, I don't really know anything about him other than what results he's achieved. He's quite a big rider, or big triathlete. He's like 80 kilos. So if he did win the Tour de France, he'd be the heaviest person to do so since Miguel Indurain.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's that.
I mean,
maybe he'll lose a bit of weight. He won't need to swim anymore, will he?
No, so, true. Get rid of those big shoulders.
That's it, yeah.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing how that unfolds anyway. They have rewritten the triathlon playbook, and let's see what they can bring to road cycling.
That's right. We know what they won't bring, don't we?
What's that?
Socks.
God, you're full of banging jokes today, aren't you?
Yeah. On fire.
On form.
Yeah. Right, moving on. The British town that has made the news for fining cyclists for riding through the town centre, where they're now banned, are taking a new and frankly bizarre step to combating this, as they call it, antisocial behaviour.
Yes, messages will be played every 15 minutes on a loudspeaker system to remind people of the no cycling rule.
Yeah, which won't get annoying for residents at all,
no,
will it? Honestly, can you imagine that?
No, I actually can't. I can't get my head around it.
No, it is just super bizarre,
yeah,
isn't it?
Okay. Speaking of crackers, it's the biggest ultra race of the season this week, the Transcontinental. Although by the time you be watching this, the top riders will have already finished.
They will, yeah. So the Transcon started last week in the hallowed Roubaix Velodrome and then sent riders on their merry way to Istanbul in Turkey, about 4,000 kilometres away. And then when I say about, the reason is because the exact routes are determined by individual riders. All they have to do is complete four short, relatively short, anyway, routes along the way.
Mm. And it's an absolute nail-biter this year. And even though riders have less than 500 kilometres to ride, we still can't tell who's going to win.
No, so Robin, I'm so sorry. I remember reading his name out last year and thinking, oh, we need to find out how that name is pronounced. So it's written Jemperl, maybe. Anyway, Robin Jemperl is in the lead, but Abdullah Zeynab is just a couple of hours behind. And then the winner of the last two editions, Christoph Strasser, is another hour behind him. So it could all come together. I mean, no one's going to be stopping for a McDonald's, are they, on their way
no.
in?
No.
Absolutely not.
I mean, they might.
Well, they might,
bike,
yeah. Maybe a drive through.
Can't do that on a bike.
And you're not allowed, actually, are you?
No. Not I've tried.
It has been a rapid edition of the Transcon anyway, with Jean-Paul looking like he could finish in less than 8 days, a feat only achieved once previously, I was reading on dotwatcher.cc.
Wow. Meanwhile, Lil Wilcox is cranking out the miles. Again, as we film this, she is just about to complete the Australian leg of her journey with over 11,000 miles covered.
Yeah, and New Zealand next. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
Her challenger, Vedangi Kulkarni, that's the one you interviewed
a few weeks back. Yeah.
She's currently, by the look of it, struggling through Mongolia. We've not got all that much information on her schedule, I'm afraid. You can see where she is, but not how far she's travelling every day. And it seems from her Instagram that she's been battling sickness as well. So we wish her all the best.
Yeah,
I hope that she recovers.
Yeah, she's had it pretty tough going so far.
Yeah.
Call to action now. It's nearly time to register for the Zwift Racing League. Last year, 35,000 of you took part in the ZRL, so get ready for the fun again. The first race is on the 10th of September, and there'll be weekly races every week after that for 6 weeks. Registration is open from Thursday this week.
Yep, so August the 1st, if you're watching this late for some reason. Now, heads up as well, the bike insurance that we launched here in the UK has now been extended to the USA as well, okay? So people in the United States of America, you can now insure your bikes with GCN. It allows you to insure your bike against theft and accidental damage as well. Technically, actually, we have to say bicycle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently some legal thing bicycle. That means that if you're talking about insurance, bike insurance in the USA, it has to be bicycle
I guess
insurance.
Like motorbike.
That's it. To be clear, this is bicycles.
Cycling bikes.
Cycling bicycles, yeah. Anyway, it's a good way of getting peace of mind, isn't it, for when you've got an expensive bike or bikes, so that, yes, you're not constantly worried about whether they're going to get nicked or crumble beneath you into a pile of expensive carbon dust.
The thought of that makes me shiver.
Does a bit, doesn't it? Anyway, click on the link in the description if you want to find out more about GCN Insurance.
It's now time for Hack Forward / Botch.
No jingle, sweet?
No.
Ah.
I'm out of jingle, sorry.
No.
You can do the honours if you want.
No, I'm all right, thanks. right then, who is up first, Ranul?
We've got Tippy123. After stopping at the pub at the top of Bank Hill in Matlock, while riding the Matlock 10, they were giving out free triple roasted spuds. As they didn't have plates or bowls, we improvised.
So this is effectively a napkin in a helmet with potatoes inside.
No, with triple cooked spuds, actually. Well,
now, I don't know how many times I've said this on GCN already, but just in case people have forgotten, potato is my number one food.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could go on for hours.
What's your favourite form of spud?
Well, And basically, that's why potatoes are so good, is because there's so many varieties that are absolutely amazing. I don't think I could name my favourite. It'd be like asking me to
choose which is my favourite. What's your least favourite?
Lumpy
mash.
Well, yeah, like a bad potato is a bad potato, right? But my least favourite type of potato... Just give me a sec, actually. This is going to take a while.
I once had a jacket potato that had a slug in it that had been cooked.
Oh, that's a bit gross, that was
gross, yeah.
I think, man. I mean, is there a bad potato? Other than a spud with a slug in it?
You tell me, you're the potato king.
I mean, honestly, I can't think
you
of...
You can get back to us if you want.
I can't think of a potato that I wouldn't want to eat, short of one that is mouldy, sluggy, whatever.
Okay, cool.
There we go.
To clear that
no up. Conclusion there, then.
Anyway, back to...
back to reality.
Hack from me.
Yeah, I'm going to say hack, you know, it's simple.
As long as they're not, like, really greasy and they've greased through to the helmet lining.
Yeah, okay,
but,
fair enough.
But, you know, you could layer up with the napkins on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I bet having that just looks like a wicked way to end a time trial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even I would do a time trial if they were giving away free potatoes at the end.
You'd probably go really fast knowing that there's potatoes at the end.
If it was the first prize, then I would.
Sack of potatoes at 100%, the end.
100%, yeah. No, well done. That is a hack. Unusually. Next up, we've got this one from a user called That God for Mates. Bit weird. 35k into a remote 70km ride. My free hub broke. Oh no! No drive to the rear wheel. Solution, remove your mate's front derailleur cable, fasten it to the brake disc, and then weave it through the spokes and into the cassette for drive, and you've got a 35k fixie ride home. Oh my word.
That's some improvising, that.
That is some serious improvising. I mean, that's got... I can't imagine the risks involved to your drivetrain of a bodged fixie like that when you've got a derailleur. But if it's got you home...
Yeah, I think that's the main thing we have to remember here.
Trailside hack.
Hack.
Isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
It is a hack, yeah.
Hack from me.
If it's that or walking for 35 kilometres, I'll go for that.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Nice one. Next up, we've got Ups Mike. Tired of my rack wheel strap scratching up against my expensive carbon wheels, I recycled a spent tube and made these soft covers for the straps. Cheap and effective.
I
like this a lot.
I'm going to say hack as well for that.
Oh, straight in there with a hack.
Yeah, I mean, it's often something that I think about.
No, it's true.
And I'm always thinking, oh, I really need to do something about that.
Well, now.
I think Thule sell one similar that costs about £49 million.
Really?
So yeah, they get, well, probably not quite that much, but...
close.
Yeah, I mean, as anything, if you buy a dedicated example, it will cost you more than the price of a broken inner tube.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Hack.
Yeah, turtle hack. That's brilliant. Okay, and then lastly, it's quite a bit of momentum behind this week's Hacklebot, isn't
there
it?
Is.
Got three on the bounce. No pressure, Rob Mack. How to keep external down tube bottles from getting too cruddy? Well, after riding through a field of cows, oof, hope you stayed safe, Rob, and having fresh, hot and steamy cow muck splattered on my spare bottle, a spare ass saver slides in between the bottom of the cage and a seat rail clip on the something or other makes a neat zip tie fixing. And then what? Sorry, I've completely made that. And the seat rail clip. On the R-Saver, sorry. Makes a neat zip tie fixing. Sorry, not very with it. I mean, apart from the fact that you've got a zip tie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, this does seem like an excellent way of stopping the top of your water bottle from getting covered in cow. On the other hand, I'm not really a massive fan of putting water bottles in that position.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I'm
they get
either.
Covered in cow. So, you know, if needs must, that's pretty decent, but maybe just pop it somewhere else.
Yeah, just refill your water bottles.
Yeah.
I know, I think it is a very good idea. But I'm not sure how, I'm not sure. Something's saying a bodge, but I'm not sure.
I think you might be right, man. I think that's a bodge.
I feel like we've ruined the streak now.
Well, we have.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's not us, man. We are merely the judges. It's Rob. Rob, you've let the side down there.
But how could you make that better?
Well, move your water bottle.
No, well, yeah, no, but if you really wanted to keep it there, how would you, I don't know.
Oh,
it's just a zip tie, really, isn't it?
Back in the mists of time, and we're going about 30 years or so now, I remember getting free on the cover of a magazine.
Oh, I love it when you get free stuff in magazines.
Yeah, as I said, there's probably a whole generation of you out there going, what's a magazine? But it was basically like a little rubber thing that you plugged on top of your water bottle.
Oh, like a lid?
Yeah, basically. I mean, honestly, it looked like a nipple tassel because it had a little dangly bit on it. But yeah, anyway, that would probably
be
better.
Maybe we need to bring those back.
I think so.
Yeah.
There you go. A little cover for the teat of your water bottle. Right, on that note, should we end it there?
Yeah.
For Hacklebodge?
Yeah, that'll
right,
do.
Let's move on. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle, such as this one. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below, and we'll pick the best out next week. Of course, it has to relate to the photo that we'll
it
give
does.
You in just a minute. But this was last week's. For podcast listeners, it is Tadej Pogačar doing an incredible Hulk impression whilst looking like a stick man, basically.
Yeah, it was. And we had so many good comments. But we've chosen one. And the winner is Nick Angie with the caption, "The Incredible Hulk is to Tadej Pogačar as Hugh Jackman is to Daniel Lloyd."
Yay!
It's quite a good one.
Yeah, you know that if you have a caption that is slightly rude to a GCN presenter...
At least it's not here.
There's more chance of it getting picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. It makes me chuckle every time I read that. Anyway, well done, Nick Ange. Get in touch and we will get your Camelback water bottle out to you. This week, we're sticking with the Tour de France and Tadej Pogačar.
How long do you reckon this can go on for?
Well, I mean, I was looking through available caption photos and nothing from the Tour of Wallonie really jumped out for me.
Okay.
So hence why we still got Tadej Pogačar. I thought of one actually for this.
Go on then.
Tadej Pogačar dropping not so subtle hints as to his next objective in cycling.
Oh.
Cyclocross.
I wonder how he'd go on cyclocross.
Well, honestly, I think if he put his mind to it, he'd win.
He probably would, actually, yeah.
And I would like Tadej Pogačar to put his mind to it. In fact,
yeah.
I said as much last week that if he wants to be the true GOAT, he needs to win gravel, cross and mountain bike worlds.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
That'd be super cool. Anyway, get involved in the comment section down below and we'll pick a winner next week. Now, before we get on to our final bit of news in this week's GCN show, some comments from under last week's videos. There's been a lot, hasn't there?
There has been a lot, but we're going to kick it off with the conspiracy video that you did, Si. And the first comment, MC Trials 23. Cars kill pedestrians a lot. Well, yeah. But let's be honest, it's cyclists' fault that they do. Mind blown.
Yeah.
And what if I said that cars kill 500 pedestrians a year and bikes kill 2?
I would say that those cars are often killing people because bikes are forcing them over the middle of the road and causing problems.
That was quite scary. It was hard to watch. Even harder to do. I'm not a massive fan of stopping people in the street and asking them questions, but that was the first person that we asked. I was just like, okay.
Yeah, what do you even reply to that?
I said, oh, okay, thank you very much. Right, let's move on then, shall we? Yeah, I mean, what can you say to someone like that?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, she must have had some kind of bad experience, I guess, with cyclists. Many, many, many bad experiences to have an opinion like that. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, what we learned also said people will go to spectacular lengths to defend things that are convenient to them. And yeah, there are, like, when you start diving into it, there are lots of quite strange justifications.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't want it to come across like I'm anti-car. I don't know whether it did. I'm not anti-car at all. I think cars can be great and they absolutely have their places. I just don't want people to use them quite as much. So all of those like journeys of less than like 5 miles that most people can do on a bike, that's the stuff that we shouldn't be using cars for, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's where I'm at, basically.
Yeah, moving on to how fast can we ride 100 kilometres full gas?
Full gas.
Full gas. JB1F5Y, there's something pretty inspiring about side bonking hard, and then the only thing he wanted was a bag of crisps and a bottle of water to ride back.
Yeah.
I guess it comes back to the potato, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically, I just wanted a potato-based snack. No, I hadn't really bonked so much as I just got a bit hot, basically. I overheated. Yeah, no, honestly.
It got a bit hot. I needed a packet of crisps.
I blew a gasket. No, it was the water that sorted me out.
Oh, okay.
Uncle Phil said, so can we admit Ollie just looked the most chilled of those three? He doesn't even look tired at all. I think that's a great effort. He didn't get dropped. Well done. Ollie was doing great. Absolutely.
He's looking
mighty fine.
You a bit scared?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if I was racing, then yeah. But we kind of do different types of racing, Ollie and I.
What kind of racing do you do?
I do like cyclocross and gravel.
And Ollie does like time trials.
Ollie does time trials. Although now I've heard that there are potatoes up for grabs.
I know. Watch out, Ollie.
Yeah.
Now moving on to the biggest alpine climb, and you've never heard of it. This was one that me and Hank went to do. And baby Gerald 4645. This one's one of the best challenges yet, and I'm massively impressed by Manon's determination. Hank was the perfect wingman for these way out of comfort zone challenges. His positivity is electric. What a reward at the top to be able to enjoy the view and the descent and that massive grade back to town. Hope you enjoyed a well-deserved coffee stop at the end. And GCN, more Hank and Manon team up, please.
Wow. That sort of tees up a bit of news, doesn't it, Manon?
I guess it does.
Hank Connor!
We've brought cake.
We bought champagne.
So this is, unfortunately, Manon's last ever GCN show, because today is Manon's last ever day working at GCN.
Oh, stop!
We're going to miss you, man. Are we all going to miss you?
It is an incredibly sad day, but also an exciting one.
Yeah, it is. I've loved working with you guys so much. I mean, even Hank, the last four...
Even Hank. Now that's a statement to get on camera.
Oh, the last 4.5 years have been the best, and I wouldn't change any of it. And I guess getting to share it with you guys just really tops it off. And memories that'll last a lifetime.
Oh, there we go. It's been amazing. It's been so much fun.
Yes. Yeah. I can't tell you how much you have given to GCN.
Don't say too many nice things, because I'll cry even more.
All right, Colin, let's concentrate on highlights. What's been the best bit?
Oh God, there's been so many. I think, like, obviously there's the amazing challenges, like doing the steamboat, gravel race, doing some epic rides. But also it's kind of not all about the epic rides for me. It's like, you know, just making videos, and there's nothing more special than doing a good video and it helping someone and seeing a nice comment. And I think that's what's, yeah, been some of my favourite moments at GCN. But there's also been really hard moments, like the Denmark gravel race, which is probably the hardest race ever. Yeah. But I think there's also a lot of things behind the scenes, like going on these crazy trips and doing some weird stuff together.
What about the place when I booked as a hotel and it was a psychic medium training centre?
This is what I'm on about. The kind of some of the accommodation we've stayed at has been quite questionable.
But the winter how-tos in Larks.
Oh yeah.
That was one of my favourite trips. Our first snow trip, so we didn't get any comments about not being cold enough to do winter videos.
No, it's great.
Yeah. Well, like I say, Marilyn, it's just been amazing working with you.
Thank you very much.
Really 100% second that.
And I hope you lot as well get involved in the comment section. I mean, we've all got highlights of Manon's last 4.5 years at GCN. Hit the like button, of course, as well. Do we get to drink the delightful looking champagne?
Come on, Manon, let's open it.
Go on, go for it. On.
The final act.
Oh, dear.
And you haven't shaken it.
Oh! Point to the side.
I caught it!
That was done like a pro.
Manon goes out with a bag.
There you go. Did you bring glasses?
We thought we'd brought glasses.
Half a bead on of champagne, if that's all right.
Thank you very much. Thank you, really appreciate it.
There's only three guys.
Nothing like a bit of champagne from a Camelback water bottle.
Oh, you put the lid on as well. But not physically.
Prop it up.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
This is proper GCN.
This is nice GCN.
Cheers,
guys.
Cheers, man.
Good luck, man.
What a legend.
Okay. Yeah, all the best for the future as well. Thank you very much for watching this week's GCN show. We'll be back next week. And of course, you will keep seeing Manon on the channel as you've already filmed some videos. So yeah, you've got a few more to look forward to.
I thought I'd be on like a first class yacht. Yeah. I don't think I'll get down in the sand.
Worked out quite well, really.
Got a bit of kit. Bye. I miss you already.